J.S. Park shares this story. His book is Life of David. These are his words. He says, a few years ago, I saw my friend wearing a bandage all the way from like his hips up to around his shoulders. And he looks embarrassed by this. And he said, all right, you got to tell me why. He says, well, he goes, I got a call from my buddy night before. Said, there's a fight. There's a fight at the beach. You got my back? You going to be there? And Friend said, yeah, I'll be there. I'll help you out. So he goes to the beach. He says, it's just pretty much a standoff. There's not a whole lot of anything really going on. Somebody's yelling over here, and somebody took their shirt off. And somebody just ran through the crowd and bumped into everybody. And my buddy's like, this isn't going to be anything. And he got in his car and drove home. And on the way home, he put his hand on his back, and it was wet. And he just happened to be passing under a streetlight at that moment. And he looked, and there's blood on his hand. So he turns into the hospital, goes into the ER, and the doctor's checking him out. He says, all right, doc, what's happening? He goes, well, friend, you've been stabbed. He said, apparently the guy that ran through the crowd grabbed a machete and said his arm was like a piston, and he was just stabbing it. So he got some people on the other side and some of his buddies and just ran through the crowd. And the doctor said, an inch deeper, and you would have punctured a lung. Here's a bandage. Sent him on his way. In this story here, it says, my friend finished his story, and it was quiet for a while, and I just burst out laughing. He said, I fell over and nearly cried. I felt terrible. He said, I couldn't stop. My friend's just shaking his head going, you're sick. You know, you're just sick. And he was laughing too. And here's the question. He said, can you really get stabbed without knowing it? You can. People do. Spiritually speaking, how many people have been tempted, enticed, stabbed by sin, and some of them don't even know it? And James warns this is a very deadly progression, James 1, 14, 15. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So how do we stop the bleeding? We know Jesus could do it. Jesus faced temptation. He overcame it. How did he handle it? I'd appreciate it if you turn with me in your Gospels, in your device or your Bible, Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, in your New Testament, 4th chapter. We'll start with the first verse, Luke 4, 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. And I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And the first thing that we're going to pull out from this is that I need to know my own vulnerability. You know, the passage starts out with Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit. That's the first verse. Jesus is full of Spirit. There's not a person listening or watching who thinks they're more full of the Holy Spirit than Jesus is. Right? If Jesus was tempted, I am going to be tempted. You know? And if there's anything, we probably bend that on the other end and go to the other extreme and say, well, obviously, I know I'm not Jesus. We're not even close. I'm kind of counting on kind of flying under the radar, and the devil won't even mess with me. I'm not worth it. You know, and there are a lot of people in today's world who are led astray by that belief that you don't count. You don't matter. No one cares. Jesus cares. We tell you that. And the devil cares. And this is exactly how he manipulates school shooters. So many people overcome by evil, they are just deluded to say, nobody cares. So if I were to use military terms, I would say you are a high-value target to the devil. If we were going to use Goldilocks terms, I would say you're baby bear. You know, not too big, not too little, you're just right. You know, we're vulnerable. All of us. I need to know where, when, how am I most likely to be tempted. And as a kid, I would watch on Hee Haw, that ancient show with the doctor and the guy coming in, you know, doc, I broke my arm in two places. And the doc says, well, stay out of them two places. You know? More poetically, Portia Nelson, you may be familiar with this autobiography in five chapters. Chapter one, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes a long time to find a way out. Chapter two, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. It isn't my fault. And it still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it. I fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down another street. I have to know myself. I have to know where the streets are, where the holes are, and where to walk. I'm vulnerable to this. I have to know my opponent's tenacity. The devil actually thinks he can take Jesus on in this situation and win. And he works at it. 40 days. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this, and they all have this. If you have your text open, you can look previously. They all have it immediately after the baptism of Jesus. It's the very next thing. You would think even the devil would give you like a spiritual honeymoon or something, you know, after like, you know, a mountaintop experience like my baptism, I'll be good to go for at least a week. Well, not so fast. 40 days. Tempting. Whether it's intermittent, ongoing, just constantly at him. You know? And it says at the end in verse 13, says the devil leaves for a more opportune time. They're going to go at this again. He's not quitting. He's not done. Matthew and Mark tell us that the angels came and attended to Jesus. I picture that like the cut man in the boxer's corner, you know, between rounds there, bandage him up because he's got to go back into the fight. You know? You look elsewhere in Scripture, Satan is persistent. Job, the book that bears his name in the Old Testament, chapter 1, he's after Job. David, he incites him to count a census he doesn't need in 1 Chronicles 21. When he enters Judas in the Gospels, Revelation, full of it. You know, the devil knows the Word of God. You can see that in verse 10. If you still have that open, the longest quote of Scripture in the passage is actually from the devil. He knows the Word. He's going to come after you. He's going to be very well versed. And he's not easily going to take no for an answer. And before you want to leave here and just lock yourself in your room and say, this is pointless, you know, there's some space here to understand his limitations. Okay, he's not invincible. When people have those little dogs, nothing against little dogs, they're just the one. Comedians calls them kick me dogs. I just remember that's just what when they're yip 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 yip. He says that's all I hear in my mind is they're just begging to be kicked, you know. And when a little dog comes after me, I'm not really like scared for my life. It's just annoying, you know. And that's what you picture here. Resist the devil. Stand true to the word. It makes him run. It's James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, and I would venture most of us like, well, that's what I want. That's where I want to end up here. How can I work to make sure the devil is fleeing? So that's where we'll spend the bulk of our time. I need to know the weaponry that's available to me. And I brought one of my weapons here. If you know what this is, it's a nail gun. It's a powerful tool. You know, if you don't know what it is or how to use it, you know, it could be potentially dangerous to you. You could get hurt. You might make it on the YouTube. We got some.
Can't touch it. Yeah. Can't touch this. My music hits so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with my two well and keep careful. Keep going. When you know you're down, see the holy from the book is an unknown. It's such and this is lethal. You can't touch it. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man. You can't touch this. Stop.
He's actually his eyes closed. He's done it there.
Hammer time.
I toyed with some other words here. You know, it's like, I need to know my tools. Resources, helps, you know. I went with the weaponry here because warfare is accurate, okay? It fits, this, I call this a nail gun, you know, it's to that level. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God, so that what? So that you can stand against the devil's schemes. So let's take this time. Let's run through the armory here, the aisles, and we'll visit the available weapons. One of those being, I just got to remember, my God is greater. Okay? If you read Matthew's account, the devil doesn't just luck into this opportunity. He's not just wandering around, doo, 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 doo. Oh, look, there's Jesus. He looks bad. You know, this is a good shot for me. The devil's stupid enough to think that. But how does Jesus wind up being tempted? Matthew 4:1 says he is led by the Spirit to be tempted. And none of the translations that I looked at soften that. And you might say, William, it sounds like, so would God be behind this in any way? And I've often used a quote from Warren Wiersbe. Yes, God allows his children to go through the furnace. But he always has his hand on the thermostat. And his eye on the clock. You know, when we were in James, the chapter 1, testing of your faith. It's the second verse. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And you're going, yeah, I get that. Trials and testing, that's from God. I get that. We're talking about temptations. Those are from the devil. Those are different. If you have the NIV heading right there, it says trials and temptations. And I was like, that's a song, right? Have we trials and temptations? And James makes it very clear in chapter 1, when we are tempted, down in verse 13, when we're tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But obviously 13 comes after 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. You kind of look at that, it's like, man, you sound like the devil and God are just standing there, just slapping me in the face. You know, here's a temptation, here's a trial. You know, here's a temptation, here's a test. You know, Job, Satan asked permission. God allows. I like this sentence. Somebody said, what Satan creates to tempt, God can use to test. Because God has faith in us. I said the devil thinks you're worth targeting. God thinks you're worth promoting and protecting. It was God's idea, right? Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Denise, Mindy, Hannah, Jennifer? Have you considered my servant? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what's common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The temptation is going to come from the devil, and the way out is going to come from God. You know, I will also want to remember that Jesus was able. He made it. He's out there for 40 days. And that's one of the great understatements of Scripture. And he was hungry. 40 days. And he could multiply food, right? And later he would, more than once, for thousands of people. But he's not going to use that power for himself. Right? He's not going to short circuit God's plan for his life. He can overcome the temptation, and he remains my example. Jesus, not Adam. Look at the difference there. Adam, in the best situation, in the perfection of the garden, all the food, with his help, he fails. Jesus, on the complete other end, in the wilderness, by himself, nothing to eat for 40 days, and he succeeds. Romans chapter 5. We had Hebrews 14:5 a couple of weeks ago. Jesus, as our inspiration, he's able, tempted in every way. And inspiration made me think of, first it was Bob Barker, and now Drew Carey as the host of The Price is Right. And if you've seen the game, Hole in One or Two. And Bob would, especially, and it said in the, what I was reading, it said, Drew's not a real golfer, but he does this inspiration putt anyway. And Bob is a golfer. If you've watched Happy Gilmore, you know that. And I thought, I wonder what his percentage is of making the putt. Because I knew they had a video. They had a VHS video back in the day of golfing Bob's way. And one season that I looked up, his percentage of making the putt was 31%. I'm like, well, that's not real great. You know, that's not super inspiring. Then they had the golfer, professional golfer, Bobby Clampett was in the audience one day. And they put him up there to inspire with the putt, and he missed. You know, the professional golfer missed. Jesus never missed, 100%. You know, it can be done. Last week, you may have seen Connor Boyle. He's an Auburn student. He made a putt, 94 feet, the length of a basketball floor, longer than this room, through that hole where you can see a little pink ball, that hole that big. He made it to win a car. And I looked that up, and it said, no Auburn student has made this putt since last year. The kid last year made it, too. No, Craig Noe, same thing. And we'll get off golf because you say, I don't play golf and this is harder than golf. I get that. Well, I'm not Jesus, duly noted, but just post this somewhere as a potential help. Well, Jesus was able. I need to remember that the Holy Spirit enables me. The same Spirit that led Jesus into his temptation leads me through mine. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's the strength that helps me through. And I don't know if anybody else is an Eagle fan, not the football team, but the bird. Kenneth Boa is writing about eagles, 2017 book, Life in the Presence of God. God seems to like eagles. He said there are 33 verses that mention eagles in the Bible. They're flying birds, right? They flap to get off the ground, but they soar by thermals. And it gives the explanation. Thermals are the columns of air formed as heat rises. You know, when heat is rising and it's pushing the colder air out of its way, and it displaces that. So when the eagles find the thermals, they can soar there. And they're experts at this. It says, in this magnificent aerodynamic action, gravity is not deactivating. It's still at work. But it's overcome by a higher principle. Eagles drop down, right, when they step off a branch and they flap like crazy. And then they get up in the air. And then their wings don't have to work as hard. And once they find the thermals and they're soaring, they hardly have to use their wings at all. It's almost zero effort. They're at rest. They just enjoy the flight. And this is the connection that he made. When we first begin following Christ, you first begin trying to practice spiritual disciplines, you're like the eagle that's just flapping super hard. It's a lot of energy. But as you go further, and you, after a few tries, you know, you finally start to soar. And some already know this. The Greek word for Holy Spirit in the Bible, the original language, is pneuma, which is pneumatic, as in air, as in soaring current. You know? We flap and flap, but eventually we catch the current of air and we soar. That's the Holy Spirit in the training and the coach and the power. We always talk about the fruits of the Spirit. I'd say the fruits of the wind, you know, that can help me soar. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. You know, where am I going to get that? Where are you finding all this stuff? We read all this stuff in the Bible. A weapon that is the Word of God. What's that? D? You know, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Three times in his temptation, Jesus quotes the Bible. It's very orderly. Verse 4, verse 8, verse 12. It's very systematic. You know, if you're using your Bible, if you can look at 4, 8, or 12, if you have a footnote or a device or a reference, where are all these quotes from? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Moses is given the people of Israel the law for the second time, duo, two, nomos law. It's giving them another chance because they couldn't do it the first time when they were in the wilderness for 40 years wandering around. See the parallel? Here's Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, able to overcome the same stuff that they couldn't. He had the same temptations. He was hungry. They were hungry. The word of God does this so constantly. You might have this week to, man, I need a verse to help me with, oh, look at that. There's one in there. And as much as the internet's evil, it'll help you on this. Just type it in. You know, I need a verse where the Holy Spirit helps me with, and it'll put you on the right path. Some discernment. You know, look, temptations always have a little twisting of reality. We said the devil knows the Bible. He's so deluded he thinks he can actually give kingdoms to whoever he wants. That's, and he has power. He has influence. He's limited. He had to ask to test Job. Craig did a great, we didn't talk at all, but he talked to you about 12 or 24. You know, I had the same thing. I don't know if some people are like, oh, I don't do tests. You know, I'm afraid I'll miss a word. I don't want to be graded. I don't want this points off stuff. Just ignore that. We almost had this word for word. I got gist on my page too. Just get the gist. You know, I'm not going to be penalized because one word's wrong. And I'm like Craig. I don't know everything verbatim. I don't always know where chapter and verse is, but I know how to type in enough in the search and I get there. You know, which rolled right into spiritual disciplines. E. You know, Jesus is praying. He's meditating. He's fasting. Discipline. And if you're like fasting, we'll give you an opportunity end of the month on the 30th to fast. Look for it. We'll send you an explanation page this week. Just kind of talking about what fasting is. Purposely doing without something to focus on something else. A lot of times it's food, drink. You know, there are things like sex, just the physical urges. It's real simple. Am I in control of my body? Or is my body in control of me? Am I disciplined? Can I say no? The military is very good at teaching people to be disciplined. Parents of teens always want them to be disciplined, to be able to just say no. When we were kids, it was Nancy Reagan and the Just Say No campaign. I'm thinking of our soccer team. I feel like I'm like wanting to be like the fundamentals coach, and our players go, he's always harping on passing and trapping, just constant every time he pulls me out. Trapping, passing. It's basic. Do it over and over and over again. And the athletes that can do the fundamentals well, correctly, in the game are going to be the ones who excel. Am I disciplined? Can I withstand temptations? I just say, oh, the Spirit will do it for me. Just take care of it, God. You just do it. You know? The one fruit of the Spirit, self-control. 1 Peter 5, 9. You know? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You know? In the athletic terms, that's when the game slows down. You have control. And I like that one rolled into me where it says your brothers. Brothers and sisters, what's that weapon? Strength in numbers. I got teammates. I got people who will help me in this battle. I'm gonna give you a list of teammates. What group is this? Boromir, Gimli, Legolas, Merry, Pippin, Sam, Frodo, Aragorn, and Gandalf. Fellowship of the Ring. one wizard, one dwarf, one elf, four hobbits, two men. It says, together the fellowship was tasked with carrying the one ring to Mordor. Put it in the fires of Mount Doom, permanently destroy it. Their perilous journey takes them, as a group in smaller parties, from the Misty Mountains to the treetops in Lothlorien, to Shelob's lair, caves of Cirith Ungol. If you know those books, great books, J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, Hobbit, you know their dangers. You know when those guys were tempted. If you don't know those books, you know yourself. You know your friends. You know who you can count on to help you when you're tempted. I was going to say who you're going to call, but that make you think something. We have that one verse, confess your sins to your, who would I really do that to? Who else can open your phone? Who do you trust that much? Military framework, Semper Fi. Always faithful. Always loyal. Pretty much everybody I know who's served in the service, they have men and women, brothers and sisters for life. And they will say, it's because we went through some stuff together. This is spiritual stuff. I want teammates, comrades, family. And I'll give you, the last one is, I don't know if this is an outlier. I don't know if it's like a minesweeper, I was thinking, or like a bomb-sniffing dog, which led me on to the, you know how crafty the drug traffickers are when they try to get drugs into the country. Here are some ways they've come up with. These are not real carrots, this first one. They wrap them up to look like fake carrots. It's all drugs inside. They cut the center out of tortillas, stacks of tortillas. They packed them in an Xbox. And they filled an excavator entirely with from Australia's records, $132 million worth of cocaine in a metal excavator. You know, which all those pictures, all that stuff in real life is useful for good. That's where we ended up with this. I got to remember that being tempted isn't necessarily going to be to do something inherently sinful. That's not how these work. Jesus turning stones into bread, there's nothing evil in that. That'd kind of be great, you know, if you could do that on a worldwide scale. But it wasn't God's will at the moment. Chocolate. Temptation for me. Not for some of you, but for others. Chocolate in and of itself is not sinful. It's just what it can be overindulged in, right? And the teeth and the diet and the sugar and all that stuff. Michael Wilkins pointed this out to me. He said, I love books. If my wife lets me, I'll overbuy books. I'll just have too many books, and books can be really great, or books can be pornographic, or false teaching. Media, good, bad, tempting, enticing. The temptation is often going to be to pervert a good thing for a bad use. Sex is inherently a beautiful thing. It can be misused. What would God, or what does God want for me and my body? In this situation, sex, chocolate, alcohol, whatever it is. Just temptations don't always come neatly wrapped with those little diamond hazard warnings that you see on the back of the tanker truck to tell you what's inside. And I'm pretty sure it wouldn't take any of us long at all to list some of the real hot spots in the world right now. Gaza, Palestinians and Israelis, things that are... Haiti is just spiraling. You know? And it hurts to see. Some of us have flown into and out of the airport in Port-au-Prince, which has been attacked. And when you see it in the newspaper or the media, they will give you any number of causes and reasons why these things are happening. And they're surface. They're valid. They're accurate. If you dig down below that, you're going to get to this stuff. You're going to get to sin and evil, and struggles of the heart. And when you watch the clips on the media, you will see that there are guns and weapons involved in these struggles. Because remember, that's the heart of this. It is warfare of the spiritual nature. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you give us so many weapons, and we need to be trained, disciplined, practiced. We need to be able to handle them accurately, in a timely fashion. Much of that will now rest with us and our willingness to go to the range and put in the time. And Father, we just pray that you will remind us of all that is available to help us through. We thank you for loving us, for your belief in us, and we pray that we would continue to cling to you today and tomorrow and beyond. It's in Jesus' name, amen.